Unless the Lord builds the house, the builder's labour is in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he grants sleep to those who he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Offspring are a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of the warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Our next reading's from Deuteronomy 17.
Yeah. I'll get you to do it midway through if you could.
Fine. Where would you like me?
You can sit down with Pete.
Okay, mate.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Sorry.
Sorry about that. That's what happens when you're a bit late trying to get your talk together. It's all good. Good morning. Just give me a sec, I'll get this sorted for us and then I'll make a start. Thank you. I really do, I've said this before, I think I say it every time, it's like my safety blanket, I really do enjoy the opportunity of coming and sharing God's word. I particularly like it on Solo Sunday because there's hardly any of you here and so I don't feel quite as anxious about it. Don't tell Pete, I actually renamed him Summer Series. He's called it Work and Rest and I renamed it the Mars Bar Series because Stephen did work last week. Did rest last week, we're resting Jesus. I'm going to cover off God's work and our work until that rest, and the youthies will be back next week and they will certainly bring some play. So work, rest and play for those people who remember the old Mars Bar slogan. I'm going to pray and then we'll make a start on Psalm 127. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you that you're a good and gracious God. Lord, we thank you for this time together. Lord, help me to not give way to my fears and anxieties, but help me to speak faithfully and clearly from your word, the word that you've given me to share with these people, that they would be built up into your kingdom, they would be firm foundation on the firm foundation of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. How do you feel about work? Does it fulfil the goals that you want? Does it meet the needs of your life? Or are you like me and feel that you need to do more and more work because it seems to always be in vain? If that's you, well then this psalm has some good news for both you and me. The psalm opens with the verse, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain." This is a reminder to Israel that it is the Lord that gives them the gifts of their houses and their possessions in them. It's a reminder that the Lord gives them to them. Hopefully you had read this morning in the Deuteronomy passage about as Israel was brought out of Egypt and on their way into the promised land, the land where God was going to give them all these blessings. He reminded them then, before they entered the land, to not confuse the good gifts that he was going to give them for something that they earned or something they worked at with their strength of their own hands to achieve. The opening passage, the opening verse is a reminder of that. That Israel was not to confuse the good gifts that God gives them in the land of milk and honey for something that they produced themselves. So in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17, this is how he reminds them. "If you say to yourself, 'My power and my strength of my hand has produced this wealth for me,' remember the Lord, your God, for he is the one who gives you the ability to produce this wealth." Israel was not supposed to confuse these gifts for something that they have achieved by themselves. But they did. And I think we fall into the same trap as Israel. I think we believe that the things that we earn, our houses and our possessions, are the things that we earned by the strength of our own hands. By our own skills and abilities, we've accumulated them. And it's this that leads us to needing to guard them, lest we've worked in vain. You see, when you believe that you, by your own strength, skill and ability, have earned something, you need to guard and protect it. There's an equation that gets set up. Because I put X amount of effort into this, I require to get X back out of it. Now, when I come home from work and find that the door is being left wide open, my heart skips a beat. Not because I'm worried that someone has potentially stolen our dog, or that the person has come inside has injured themselves greatly by stumbling through the mess. No, my heart skips a beat because I'm worried about the things that will be missing, the things that I've laboured in vain for. You see, it reveals my heart. It reveals that I do believe that it is by my own efforts that I have achieved the things that are in my house. And it is this that drives us to need to guard our possessions. We install nice, neat security systems that we can look and make sure that they're there, even on the palm of our hand, on our mobile phone, wherever we are. We might like security systems. We might prefer just to move to a nicer and safer part of Lismore. But I think the biggest temptation for us today is probably insurance. We need to protect and make sure that we don't work in vain, so we take out insurance. I was at a seminar earlier this week for private health insurance. At the end of the seminar, there were some question and answers. One of the other participants was listing off all the different types of life insurance they had to the speaker. After listing off all the various types they had, the speaker had to confess that there was no room left for her to sell private health insurance. The person had so much life insurance and various types of other insurances that they were already covered for every incident and thing that may happen to them and their possessions in life. Now, I'm not saying that security systems are a bad thing, and nor am I saying that moving to a nicer part of Lismore, a safer part of Lismore, is a bad thing. After all, we live in flood-prone Lismore. Nor am I saying that insurance is necessarily a bad thing to have. But what I want us to do is think about why. Why is it that we have and use these things? What is the driver? Is it the fear? Is it the fear and anxiety that comes with knowing that we may have worked in vain that drives us to do these things? I know for me, nothing drives this fear and anxiety more than the need to provide food, to put food on the table in my house, the burden of needing to provide for the daily necessities. It certainly leads me to rising early and staying up late. I get stuck in the mentality that I must make hay while this sun shines. Although in the original context, making hay while the sun shines is about choice of what job you do when, because the hay paddock is only so big. And when the hay's done, it's finished. You move on to the next job. But in our world, the hay paddock is infinitely sized. There is always overtime that you can do. There is always a promotion that will lead to you needing to do more and more hours to secure the burden of providing food. And if your current employer doesn't offer you those options, there are other employers out there that will. It is this fear and anxiety that we will have laboured in vain that drives us to rise early and stay up late and robs us of our sleep. But God gives rest to those he loves. That is the great news about this psalm, isn't it? That's the good news for us. Rest is actually the byproduct, really. It's not the gift. The gift is all the things that God gives us. He gives us our houses and our possessions and our daily needs. And if we trust that they are a gift from God, then we don't need to worry about it being in vain. Do you see how the equation has changed? It's no longer I put X in and I need to get X back out. It's a free gift. I now have X and I'm free to use it and enjoy it. And if I lose it, well, then that's a shame, but I didn't work for it. You see how it frees us to live and work, not in fear, but with a sincere and thankful heart. All these things that we are given in life are good gifts from God. And I've been speaking this morning as if everyone here has those gifts, because really we do live in a plentiful land of milk and honey. But I just want to say that if that's not you, if you don't have the bare shelter to live in, and you don't have food and the daily needs of life, please let your GC leader know, or someone else at the church here, one of the elders, because they would love to make sure that God's good gifts of these things flow to you through his church. That is one of the ways that God has promised that he will hand out these gifts, is through his church family. These are all great gifts from God for our life. But probably the best gift of all that God gives us is our children. They are probably the only gift that we don't ever confuse to be our own, or that we have somehow made ourselves. I don't think I've ever seen anyone say, "Here, look at this child. I made it myself." No, they truly are a gift from God. And everyone has always acknowledged that they are only a gift from God. Louise and I might, my wife and I might, occasionally disagree over the size and how full our quiver is, but something we certainly agree upon is you don't need to spend very long with a family who wants to have children but can't before we realise just how much we take our own children for granted. They truly are a blessing from God. Little things that you can pour your love, wisdom, knowledge and experiences into, to grow them up, to hand on the good gifts that God has given you. Now, back in the time of Israel, if you didn't have children, if you didn't have a family, there's a good chance that you would end up at the city gate, which is the other translation for in court in the bottom of verse 5. And you would end up there, the city gate and the court. The city gate is where things were decided for the community. That's where decisions were made about what was going on in the community. You would end up there as likely as a widow in your old age, and you would end up there because you don't have any children to care for you. So you would need someone to care for you. You would need a kinsman redeemer, someone to come along and take you into their family and look after you in your old age. If you know the story of Ruth, that's what I'm trying to describe to you. And it was a shame. Not a shameful thing, but it was a shame. It was a shame because that was where their family line ended. It no longer traced its heritage down through the tree of Israel in God's chosen and blessed people. It was a shame because it ended there. And that's like it is for us today, isn't it? It's a shame when people who want to have children are unable. It's a shame that they don't have someone to pour their love and wisdom and knowledge and experience into. But is that all that this psalm has to say to us today? Is it just about the good gifts that God has given us and the way that we should be grateful for them? Is it just about the gifts of our possessions and our daily needs and our children that we can pass it all on to when we die? If that's all this psalm is about, it does seem a little bit in vain, doesn't it? That the cycle would just go around and around. But there is another level to this psalm. There is another dimension to it. And thankfully for the Bible reader, we don't need to play this track backwards to understand it. But we do need to step back and have a look at the wider context. Who is writing this psalm? And what is he writing it about? The author of the psalm is King Solomon, the son of King David. And he's writing about the Lord building a house. Although Solomon did build God's house, the temple, it was David, Solomon's dad, who first desired to build him a house. It was when David announced this desire that God made a startling and really big promise to David. And we're going to hear that read to us now out of 1 Chronicles. So if you want to turn your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 17, we're going to read from verse 4 to verse 6, and then we're going to read from the second half of verse 10 through to the end of 14.
On page 289. Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. You are not the one to build me a house to dwell in. I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought Israel up out of Egypt to this day. I have moved from one tent site to another, from one dwelling place to another. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their leaders, whom I commanded to shepherd my people, why have you not built me a house of cedar? I declare to you that the Lord will build a house for you. When your days are over and you go to be with your ancestors, I will raise you up, your offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build the house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. I will never take my love away from him as I took it away from your predecessor. I will set him over my house and my kingdom forever. His throne will be established forever.
Thank you. Can you see how the psalm is echoing this promise to David? Can you see how David offers to build God a house? But God says, no, I don't need a house. But you do. And I will build you this house. God is going to build a house for those he loves like David. He's going to build a house that will last forever, to break the cycle. One that will endure and people can enjoy forever. See, the Lord is going to build the house that is not in vain. Not in vain. The Lord has made this promise to David, and it's also to us. The most exciting thing about this promise that God made to David, the psalm is echoing, the most exciting thing about it is that the promise, when it was made to David and made to Solomon and echoed in this psalm, it was all future tense. It was all yet to come. Although Solomon did build God's house, he didn't live forever. But for us, it is actually present tense. This promise is actually happening. God is actually building this house in the psalm right now. He's already commissioned the builder, and we know that he has. He sent him into the world, and he's purchased all the materials that is required. We know that when God sent Jesus into the world, he came into the world to die, to pay the price, to purchase and redeem the people that he would build into his house when he died on the cross. And then Jesus rose again and is now seated at the right hand of God. And he is the cornerstone of this new house to which God is building and has been building ever since that day. 2 Peter chapter 2 puts it this way in verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house. You see, God is building a house on Jesus. He is the firm foundation, the cornerstone of this house. And those who come to him and trust in him for the forgiveness of their sins are built straight and true on top of Jesus. You see, the psalm is inviting us and declaring that we can use the good gifts and we can labour not in vain on our own things, but we can join God's great labour of building a house for those he loves. We can participate in this by using the gifts that we have to make sure that people know Jesus and that they stay straight and true in the house. We can open our homes up for DNA, for Bible studies. We can share our food and things with people as we talk and discuss how much Jesus means to us, what he's done for us, and the great pleasure it is to love, be loved and served by God. We can also be expectant. God is building his house. People are being born into his kingdom each day. Children born into God's family are born the same way as they are into an earthly family. People labour over them. And at the point in time that God has designated, they are born. People in this church laboured over me for 4 years before the point in which I was born into the kingdom of God and laid as a stone in his house. People poured out their love and knowledge and wisdom about God into my life, that I would stand firm in the house and not fall out. We have a great building project. We have all the gifts that God has given us. Let's not tire of using them to seek and serve and bring people into God's house. Let us use our gifts wisely, that we would not labour in vain merely on our own house and our own family, but we would get on board with his great promise that God is building an eternal house, one that will last forever, one that will endure and not be in vain. Let's look forward to the day in which we can enjoy it all together with all the stones that have ever been laid in its great and vastness. Until that day, let us continue to help God and assist and play our part in building the house. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you that you are building a house. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we can labour in that house with you. Lord, we know that they're all the gifts that you are giving us. We know that you are doing all the work, but Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to participate in it. Lord, help us to use our time and the gifts of the things that you give us, that we would love and serve people, to see that your house would grow bigger and bigger. Lord, thank you that for Jesus and the way that he purchased us and brought us into your house. Help us to love and serve you with all our heart and mind and strength. And help us to stand firm on Jesus until we see him face to face with you and all the others. In his name we pray. Amen.